It's a pleasure about this time every year to catch up with the voice of cycling, Phil Liggett, who's over at the Tour Down Under, and he joins us again on this Wednesday morning. Phil, good morning, and welcome back to RSN 927.
Lovely to speak to you again.
Nice and warm in Adelaide this time of year. Tell us about a few of the stage reductions over, well, first the first couple of days of the Tour Down Under, and how hot has it been? 41 we're hearing again today.
Yes, they're talking at the same. We were seeing on the motorbikes following the rise yesterday, temperatures hitting 45 on their thermometers. But it was a hot one. The riders had a good chase after three or four guys for a while, and then in the end brought them all together about 40k from the finish. Then there was common sense rain. They slowed right down to 30, 35k an hour, took on water, and then they got their heads down for the finishing Port Adelaide. And in all honesty, I've not heard any complaints from the riders, but they did cut the distance down only by 3 kilometres yesterday. But today they've knocked 30 kilometres off the route. And so we miss out our little sort of triangle trip off the route to Williamstown. And instead we go straight through to the finish in Anguston.
How different are the off-seasons for cyclists and their preparation for the season ahead? Because obviously we've got the European summer, which is the goal of a lot of these cyclists later in the year. But what do they do in the off-season? Do they go heat training? Do they go to altitude and do training amongst the snow? What do cyclists normally do?
Well, in the old days, they actually went skiing.
Yep.
We're going back 20 years or more. They used to have their own cycling skiing championships up in the Alps or the Pyrenees, and they kept fit that way because you're using very similar muscles in skiing as you do in cycling. But these days, and really it's partly due to the advent of the Tour Down Under, which started 21 years ago, and European cyclists suddenly had to readjust their way of living because they would come from the snows and be expected to show why they're so good in the month of January in a hot Australian summer. So they, in fact, the sport has become totally worldwide now. South Africa has become a player in the Games, for example. Last year we had a King of the Mountains here with Nicholas Lamini, who's riding again. He's from Cape Town, where this weather's the same as it is in Cape Town at this time of the year. So they do their training camps in sunnier climes, and they've had to realise that they can't stay fit for 10 months. So they'll train up for the events they want to win. Some will have targeted this race. Then they'll go downhill a little bit for a few weeks, and then they'll train themselves back up for the one-day classics in Europe or the upcoming Tour of Italy or Tour de France. So it's a 12-month season now.
Phil, you've been covering cycling for a very long time, and this is the 20th year of the Tour Down Under. It's hard to believe that. But how do we stack up, us little old Aussies, in terms of the grand scheme of things in world cycling?
Well, the Aussies are amongst the top ranks now, particularly on the velodromes, of course. They're in amongst the medals at the Olympic Games there because they're very good. It's usually a British-Australian battle in the Olympic Games, for example. But on the road race, they've had these marvellous moments now. People like Stuart O'Grady and Matthew Hayman winning the great one-day classic, Paris-Roubaix. Simon Gerrans, who retired at the end of last year, he won this race four times, and he's also won the big classics like the Liège-Bastogne-Liège and Milan-San Remo. The Aussies are right up there. They're feared. I was talking to a European two or three weeks ago, and they used to talk about English-speaking cyclists as cannon fodder. Now they are 100% respected. They really are. If they watch them come through the training regimes that they've got going, they work. And, of course, we've now won the Tour de France. I say we. Australia's won the Tour de France with Adele.
Yes.
We've won the Tour de France in Great Britain with three different riders now. And it's a whole different ballgame over those years of the Tour Down Under.
Focusing in on one of our young stars, Caleb Ewan, and hopefully we do see him at the Tour de France later on this year. Unfortunately,
yes,
didn't win the stage yesterday. Tell us what happened after his good win a couple of days ago.
Well, it worked out perfectly on a very wide road where they had multi-laps when he won the Down Under Classic. Showed he's got absolute pure speed if he can get himself in the right place. On a tricky finish like it was coming to Port Adelaide, you've got to be in the right position. For the whole race, his team, which is a Belgian setup, Lotto Soudal, had him, did all the pacemaking, brought back the breakaways. The rest of the race, just looked back and watched them do it. And then once he got to the last 8 kilometres, all the teams who felt they had a sprinter could win because it was a wide highway coming down the A7, the riders just got the lines going, and they gradually elbowed the Lotto team out of the front of the race. By the time they came to the last vital kilometer, Lotto had lost the race. They were nowhere to be seen. They'd lost all position, lost everything, and the guy who won, Elie Viviani, well, that was a magical sprint. I've never seen him win a race like that. It was terrific. He came through on the barriers. He got through a gap that never existed. He moved across the road and won down the centre of the track. Win number one for his new team. He was over the moon.
Oh, and quite rightly so. One man I wanted to ask you about, Phil, was Richie Porte. I think he's been pretty unlucky over the last few seasons. Is he back somewhere near riding at his best?
I think he is. I think
he
spoke to me 3 or 4 days ago. I asked him how he was going. Most cyclists say they'll never reveal how they're going. Although they are, I'm not firing. I might be okay. He just said quite simply, I'm going pretty well.
Oh,
that's trouble. And I think it will be. And yesterday, when he didn't need to be near the front, his team put him at the front to keep him away from silly falls you might get coming down the descents off the Adelaide Hills. He was always where he needed to be to stay out of trouble. That is a man looking to win the race.
And in terms of the Tour Down Under this year, there's a bit of a... Is it a change of finish this year as well? So that throws a bit of a spanner in the works for a few people?
Bit more interest. There's a lot of construction in the city at the moment, and we don't want all those horrible cranes on our camera shots. But so I think the organiser never said that, but I think that's one of the reasons that we've moved out up to the Woolunga Hill.
Yeah.
And the king of Woolunga Hill is undisputably Richie Porte.
Yeah,
one of the last 5 years, never been beaten. And the race finishes there. The man that gets up to the line first could be the final winner of the race, because that's where we end the whole show. The guys that know that they've got to get time off Richie over the days leading up to the last day, because on the last day, Richie will go for the win.
Looking forward to that. Phil, always a pleasure to speak to you on RSN 927. Thanks so much for your time again this morning. We look forward to seeing your coverage over the next few days at the Tour Down Under.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Phil Liggett there. You can catch all the coverage on Channel 7.